Okay. Can you hear me fine?
Yes.
Kofi will join me in a minute. He says to start. It's good to be here again. And it's interesting. If you nod off, sweet dreams. You know, sometimes we can stand at the front and we can pronounce all kinds of things, all kinds of wisdom, and we've got it all sewn up, and just follow this and it's okay, everything will be fine. But you know, when we were thinking about what to share today, we thought, we didn't feel too comfortable about just standing and preaching at you. So we thought we'd have a bit of a conversation, yeah? That you can feel free to join in, okay? So what I'm going to do is to sort of steer us through just a little, I guess, little skeleton of what we put together, and the rest of that will emerge as we go through. Now, the first thing we thought of doing when we thought about marriage is to look in the Bible and to find a nice marriage that will just give us all the ingredients of how to do marriage. We looked and we looked. All kinds of strange things came up in there, but there was no perfect marriage in there, okay? And I can assure you that today there are no perfect marriages. Okay, we've been working at ours for 34 years. Ooh. Yeah. And what I mean is that we are still working at marriage, because in a sense, marriage is like a bit of a conversation that starts. And when that conversation stops, watch out. Yeah? So it's an ongoing conversation. We've never arrived where we can just relax and say, right, we are happily married and that's fine. Yes, we do need to maintain it, but we need to keep on flowing in that conversation with the humility that we haven't got all the words to package it. It's something that is unfolding. So what we thought we'd do, instead of getting you a nicely married couple in the Bible to tell you what to do, is to just look at, we thought we'd just think of a few perspectives on marriage. And we chose a couple of verses, a couple of passages, and Genesis 2, 23 to 24. And I'm going to read these couple of passages, and Kofi's going to come and just explore them a bit, and then we'll move on from there. So, the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." So the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." So that's the first thing we want to explore together, this leaving and cleaving, okay? Then the other passage we want to develop a bit is how the church is used as a picture of marriage, okay? That involves all of us. Ephesians 5, 28 to 33. Ephesians 5, 28 to 33. "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Okay? So at this stage, I just ask Kofi to come and just join in, and I'll step aside for a minute.
Yep. Yeah. Well, again, it's really good to come to be with you. I know with the kind of work I do, I work as a reflective, systemic family therapist, but we are known as systemic practitioners. So I work once a week in our mental hospital where we deal with all sorts of couples and marriages and families. So I help the therapist and the team to reflect with the family. I hear stories from the family. We all hear, we all listen. And as about 2, 3, 4, or 5 of us, we'll have a conversation about what we've just heard. And it's quite interesting listening to stories of families and to see the various perspectives or multi-perspectives, ideas of families or couples or marriages. And I will not assume that everyone here obviously is married, but there's some of us who are married, some of us who have had difficulties in our marriages, some of us because of what we've inherited, there are issues in the way we approach any relationship. But I want us to, the most important is to look at Scripture and to see which direction, in a way, like everyone said, when you look at Scripture, I thank God that He never gave us something specific. This is the way to do marriage. And that's the end of it. But He gives us room and He gives us space to develop our lives and to develop what He has given to us to be able to cherish. But the thing that I want to pick up, you know, because it's important that everything is based on Scripture, because Scripture is very powerful. Even though we may not find a clear picture of what possibly we want, and God doesn't, I thank God that He doesn't do it that way. Because it means that we will be going around bullying everyone or trying to get everyone into that kind of a corner and say, this is how to do it. This is not how to do it. But God is saying, there's a way to do it. And I'm giving you space. It's accommodation. We call it like it's accommodation. How to find room to build what He has given to us. So it says here, this, the man said, and I like that, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of me. It's a very powerful message here. So marriage is not just two separate people going off in their own direction, but two separate people become one flesh. And that's very important. Two separate people become one flesh. The woman and the man becomes you. That's a very strong thing. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. And they become one flesh. So this word flesh goes right through Scripture. And if you pick it up in the book of John, it says the Word becomes flesh. So this is the image of what God is all about. The man shall live. Why would a man has to live? Why will he have to live? Because it's a crucial thing here. Living means you're actually living from the past, from parents, from your siblings, from the extended family. Because without living, you cannot cleave to your wife. You'll be rather looking around. If the man stayed at home and the woman came to be with the man. Obviously, culturally, we see that in different parts of the world. So it had to be in a context. But at the same time, we're saying this is what the Bible gives to us. Though culturally, it's worked for some people. But we hear also stories when the woman actually goes to stay with the man and the man's family. It's a different ballgame. But it's saying something here which possibly God looked at it and said, wait a minute, it's a man who has to leave. Because the mother, the man's mother will be there. And you can actually, I'm sure you hear so many stories of when a mother-in-law is so much involved with a son. Because I know as a child, as I was growing up, my mom was very particular about what I eat. And she knew I love soup. So she made all sorts of soups for me. So once you get married, you're thinking, no, I have to leave this behind. How do you do it? Because it's part of your mental faculty. Almost like the soup has become flesh. Bone of my bone. But you have to separate from that. And you have to understand that this person has brought something different. This woman, this mother, or someone going to be a mother of your children, because you choose someone knowing that this person is like you. I remember the first time I met my wife almost 40 years ago. A friend of mine, because I came from the continent, from Ghana via the continent. And you know, you live in a place like Switzerland, another place that is so different. And my English friend who welcomed me to England said to me, you need to meet a black family. I said, why? But he wasn't, thinking in the racial way, but he thought, possibly it might help me. So the first time he took me to Yvonne's family house, it was going to be a prayer meeting, by the way. And I stood in the living room with all, you know, these girls and everyone there, you know, everyone surprised to see this young man. And then I saw someone come straight from upstairs, down the stairs, almost knocked me down. Passed me, didn't even lay eye on me. I was so proud of myself, thinking, whoa, you know, everyone will look at me, you know. She just passed. I thought, how dare she pass into you? But something said in my spirit, something just said, wow, she looked like me. There's something. It's not about color or anything, but she looked like me. It's almost like you know this person looked like it. And you know you can spend the rest of your life with this person. And that was 5 years after. You know, we knew each other for 5 years before. I waited for her to finish. I think she was coming 17, 18, I don't know. I've forgotten, everything goes too fast. But after 5 years, we knew. The whole family knew. And it's about living the past and knowing that God was directing you, because living means you're going to be glued to someone special that God has chosen. Marriage, people say, is made in heaven. God knows. The Bible says the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He makes our paths. And the most important thing is to understand his principles, his ways for us. We are all very different. We meet people in different ways. Some countries, some it's arranged marriage. And sometimes you wonder how it's going to work, but it works. But sometimes, our parents decided that they would leave us alone to make it on our own. Some families like to interfere because sometimes if you don't leave, sometimes you can leave, but you still carry the siblings and you carry the whole family. And especially if the parents don't accept marriage, you know you're going to live the rest of your life with that until you're able to go back at a certain point and make up, because you need their blessing at the end. And we pray, if you are in that kind of situation, we pray for the miracle of God. We're praying for you that God will make a way. Because it's so crucial for the benefit of if children come along, that the children need to experience their grandparents. So it says, living is about commitment and gluing to each other. You can no longer rely on your parents. So it means that you're not rejecting your parents, you're not saying no to your parents, but this is between you, two of you who have become one flesh, to respect that. Because love is so crucial in this. Love and respect. But if you're going to have to serve others, your mom and dad, your siblings and the extended family, everyone advising you, saying this to you or that to you, you will not go to the counsel of God. Someone said, blessed is a man or woman who dwells or he hears or lives in the counsel of God, not the counsel of the ungodly. It's where you're going to stand and sit, because you're going to stand different way. You're going to sit differently. And it's very crucial for you, for us, to understand this living and can no longer rely on parents, and we get to the place where we cleave together. Stuck together with your wife, with your partner. It's the choices we go through. And the fact we want to talk a little bit about the whole thing about how we make this good marriage work. If there is any good marriage. But there are good marriages, examples around. Because all of us play a vital role in a lot of couples' lives. I mean, for us, we know many people watch us. Many couples watch us. And that can be added pressure. But at the same time, it's so important too, to know how you live your life. And every marriage is a work in progress. You work at it. And the Lord also honors you. Sometimes people wake up or they come to us and they say, where did all that love go? It was sunshine. And suddenly there's darkness. It's important that we listen to the heartbeat of our partners, the one you're thinking of marrying. You have to understand that we've all come from a different homes, a different upbringing, a different journey, and there are generations. A lot that happens in our lives, a lot that we go through, is conscious and unconscious impact on our lives that impacts also the children. And sometimes it's important for us to take a step back and ponder and wonder and be curious about what has just started taking place. Maybe you're having a lovely conversation and you just started to tease. And then you wonder why that person took the teasing so seriously. But you never took the time to step back and to slow down because you haven't understood each other. It's listening to the heartbeat of each other. In the Bible, it's called a still small voice. If you can listen to the still small voice within you, it helps you to pause, to say, I have come together with this person, this woman. We are one. We need to write a new map for our life, a new script. It doesn't mean that because there's been divorce and abuse and struggles within your family of origin, that is how you're going to live your life. You can choose. That's why in the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 3, in Colossians 3, Ephesians also 5 and 6, it talked about submission. Submit to each other. It's a choice. It's a choice to live, to cleave to your wife, and to cleave to your husband. It's a choice you make. It's a choice you make to submit. When you think of Mary and Joseph, Mary submitted herself to the word that was brought to her. It was a choice she made. And it was a choice Joseph made to stand by Mary. I mean, can you imagine today if suddenly you were going to marry someone or you were engaged to someone or you're preparing to marry someone and then suddenly she came saying that I'm pregnant? It's a very strange thing, actually, to think about it. But Joseph, because she was submitted to the word, she was able to handle the situation. It could have been a different story, but she loved this woman. She respected this woman, and she was submitted to the word because this person had become flesh with him. And that's so crucial for us to understand this. That it's the respect and the love that has to be developed, worked upon, to understand this new person in your life, this person you have met and want to spend the rest of your life with. It's a dance. That's why I really enjoyed watching that dance. And next week is the same theme, the theme of a dance. Did you know that marriage and family life is a dance? Every day you are learning new steps. You know, the children always say to me, I've got my dance. It's like digging potatoes. And they always play a rhythm to it. The Bible says singing to yourself in hymns and psalms, making melody. That's Colossians 3 and Ephesians. How many times do we wake up and have a song? Maybe we had a song in the night, rather than wake up feeling miserable. How about you? You know, feeling miserable and almost like, where is our joy gone? But you know something? What I've learned is to take a little step back and say, I wonder what happened. You know, where did that step go? We're learning new steps every day, new dance moves. And that's part of the whole process. You wake up every day and say, are we going to learn a new step today? Let's get together. And you can't even hold each other. You can't even look at each other in the eye. There will be crisis. They will come. There will be crisis. There will be arguments. There will be debates. They will come. It's how you deal with it. Have this still small voice within you. Communicate within you. I said, I am going to wake up and find a solution. It's a choice. Sometimes you will yourself, like David many times says in the Psalms, like Psalm 103, my soul, almost like saying, come on, wake up. It's hard. Or if something has happened and you went to bed, you didn't work at it. Because some people do a lot of displaying in public to show you how much they love each other. No, the most important is before you go to bed, have conversations. And when you wake up, repeat it. Revisit it. Conversations are very important. But I think, you know, it would be good if one can. Yeah. Yeah.
So, in talking about the leaving and the cleaving, being stuck together, but you know what? It's one thing to leave and to cleave, but we bring our past with us into the marriage, yeah? Now, whether we're single or whether we're married, we bring our past with us. It's not just something that happens in marriage. We all bring our past with us. But the difference in marriage is that these two paths have now to become one. These two histories have now to become one. Each of us, each partner has their own internal world and their own internal parents. And when children come along, each has a different idea about how to parent these children. It's not something that is even conscious. It's something that is unconscious. It's something we don't think about. Each have our different expectations about how to live, what to eat. I can't cook Kofi's soups that his mom cooked him. She used to pile in all, I've had some of the soup, she piled in everything there to make sure that he had all the nutrition he needed. But I couldn't do the Ghana light soups and the peanut ones and all that. I couldn't do that. And so somehow, actually, it was fortunate because you grew to like my mum's food.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much.
Yeah. My mum's a good cook.
She pampers me a lot.
But it's impossible. He doesn't like too much meat, you know. Don't let him see you eating your chicken bones because he can't tolerate that. You know, so there's all kinds of little things. So we're bringing our past with us, and it might be funny, but it's also very traumatic because something that might be quite normal for your spouse is very traumatic for you. Yeah? And so I'm wondering, and we're all sitting here looking really, really lovely and ready and dressed for Sunday and looking really, really nice. And we don't know what is going on inside each other. And we're quite careful about how to explore this, you know, in an open way today because it's can feel quite vulnerable. Perhaps if you want to ask a question, you might think, oh, they might think that I'm going through that. But I'm wondering, you know, there can be, it's not easy to become one, And some of us are really going through difficult times even right now. And I just get a sense of that and not wanting to stir up that pain in a way that makes it unbearable or unmanageable. I think I just like to say that, you know, the Lord is with you in the midst of the pain. And as a body of Christ, we're with you. And somehow, my prayer is that we can, as a church, start that conversation where we can actually hear one another, that we're not sort of speaking platitudes or saying things that sound nice, but somehow to be hearing and being in tune so those who are really struggling can find that they are being heard and that they're being accompanied. And it's not possible to step into your marriage and into your home and make it right for you. That's something, and that's a way that each of us and each couple has to find for themselves in the presence of God. But I think my heart this morning is to say that let us start a conversation, or I don't know how that forum can be created, and I think you're already on the way to that. That forum can be created whereby we can actually use one another in a way that helps us to really crack through on those very difficult issues that we face at home. Sometimes we don't realize until it's too late, until some disasters happened. And my heart, my longing is that in a body like this, and I know the amount of work that has gone into creating a space that everyone can feel at home in, but where there are hurts and where there are those pains, where you've come to a place that feels like an impasse, that you can't make another step, that somehow you will find a way to connect. Like Kofi was saying before, that many people look to us as a couple, and that can be quite daunting sometimes. And so every day we are careful that we're honest in the way we are together, that we don't try to dress things up, but that we can be transparent and congruent, true on the inside and true on the outside. That each day, as we live before our children, that they can feel us as being real. It doesn't matter what we say to our children if they don't feel that it's real. And so when we get angry and upset with each other, and I must say that I'm the fiery Jamaican one. When we get upset and so on, and when my voice starts to raise, somehow we've tried to live in a way within our family so that just the children can feel the anger. Yeah. They can feel the anger and the upset, but at the same time, they can. My daughter will come in and start saying, "Kumbaya, my Lord." As soon as we hear "Kumbaya," we laugh, and so it's reality. And I'm not saying this very well because I didn't rehearse it or write it down. But what I'm trying to communicate is, it's okay that it's not perfect, right? It's not a judgment on you that you're struggling, okay? But it would be amazing if you could find, not just with your pastors, but with your spouse, a way of bringing your real self to the fore. You know, darling, it was really hard what you said to me. If you can imagine yourself to your spouse, you know, it was really hard what you said, and this is how I felt. When you did such and such, and I reacted in that way, it was because all of a sudden I was reminded of when something else happened. And I don't know why I felt so strongly about it, but it just overcame me, and I'm sorry that you got the brunt of it. And just to start a conversation that will help your spouse to understand where you're coming from. What is it in your history that has caused you to be still raw and tender in those places? And somehow help him to understand and to help you to deal with those situations. And I know many situations are far more complex than that. And I wouldn't want to belittle that.
And sometimes, you know, like I mentioned about teasing, because sometimes a wife or a husband could come to you and said, "Oh, I saw somebody," or "I met somebody." I mean, you know, in terms of a workmate or someone that they had an argument with. So they thought they mentioned to the wife about the argument. So thinking they've sorted out the argument, so they came home and said, "Oh, you know, Angela or Mary, you know, I saw, you know, John." And probably Angela could think, "John?" And the husband would say, "Don't you remember John I had an argument with?" I said, "But that's got nothing to do with me." It means that we are not listening to each other. And just something little like that could be a reminder of how parents used to argue. Just a little message, a little word, suddenly escalates. Because they knew that there was a time when mom and dad separated because they started an argument. But it wasn't an argument to begin with. It was just something to remind each other. Or, "Look at my dress." And just a little comment. It's all saying, "Wow, that's beautiful." But you didn't say that. You just said, "Oh, you need to lose few here and there." But that was an innocent thing. Or it's just something that you just said. But you didn't know where it was going to get to. And that's how you'd be surprised about relationships. How things suddenly escalated. And what you need to do in our learning, I've learned a lot through just stepping back and pressing a pause button. Keeping my hand on the pause button. Sometimes it's almost like I say to myself, imagine it was in the dark. You were looking for the pause button and you couldn't see it, so you're taking your time. And you take your time to get there. And when your hand reaches it, you press it slowly. You slow down. It's an exercise. It's a real discipline to do that. Many times when we get into misunderstanding, I think we're both trying to reflect a lot. To reflect is very important. It's a good exercise. In our world today, no one reflects. Everyone likes the noise. But it's important that we learn to reflect. Mm. Reflecting is like meditation. It's like praying. It's simple. Being therapeutic. Bringing an environment, an atmosphere within the home. The home becomes like a haven of rest. We leave work, we come to the house, or we come home wanting a space to rest. It doesn't mean because you become one flesh, you have to be in each other's space all the time. We need our space within our homes. And sometimes we need just to be on our own and not to be afraid to be alone. When you find who you are, your identity, you feel comfortable to be alone. It's a lovely thing to be alone. Sometimes just a little walk. The kind of music you want to listen to. So that you don't argue. Suddenly you turn on the music or you want to watch a program. And then that's an argument again. Everything turns into an argument. And then suddenly the children think, "Oh, that's going to be a separation." Because it's part of the past that we brought into the present. But if we take time to understand each other, we will be each other's healer. Mm. You know?
So. Yeah. This thing about what you mentioned just now, Kofi, about finding that space. And I think one thing that we've always done is, and I must say, I must give you credit for that more, is that you have created a space, not just for us as a couple, but for the children. For instance, the children have a rough day at school or a great day at school, we don't know. But what we always were mindful of was that when they came home, we have prepared for them. And we do that in different ways. First of all, the TV would be off, and there'd be some music on, something that would be a bit calming for them. And there'll be a small snack on the table. Could be just something small. They come in, uniforms off, wash their hands. They come in, and we have prepared a space for them. And so little things like that, like preparing for one another. And as a couple, we do this. We can do the same for one another, that we are preparing. What it says is that I've been carrying you in my mind. I've been thinking of you. I've been looking forward to seeing you. And we don't have to say much. But one thing we knew, but when our children came home, it was like a time for them to be really grounded, you know, just to, I'm home. It's quite easy for a child just to sit in front of the TV. But just to come, sit at the table, and just to face one another and home. And it's the same. And you know what? They carry that right through their lives. They carry that right through. They might not remember exactly what you said, but they'll carry the experiences in their body. In the same way as when there's been a traumatic experience, we carry it in our bodies. And we might not remember it, but in what we do, we act out. Someone does something and we, you know, fire off. It's because of that trauma that's still trapped in the body. It's the same with the opposite. Those good experiences that we're building up one after the other. You know, we practice these things. We have to practice our relationship. We practice doing the things that will lead to new paths of behavior, if you like. It's not the end if you're finding it impossible at the moment. But just stop. Reflect. How can you prepare for your partner? What does he or she really like? How can I communicate that I'm thinking of you, I'm carrying you in my mind, that I actually care? It might be just one tiny thing. Yes, yeah, start with that. And practice adding to that. And you'll find that your mindset will be towards the one who you love. We grow to love, and sometimes the love is not so strong, but we grow. And just like Kofi mentioned about the tree planted by the rivers of water, you know, sometimes we have orchids, and we had some orchids that looked totally dead. It was just like a stick, and I was going to throw it out. And Kofi said, oh, let's just, you know, leave it there for a while. And we left it there. And what we thought was a dry stick, we saw a tiny little bud come out. Another one, we saw something coming out from the root and coming up out of the pot, which we didn't realize would end up being laden with flowers. And, you know, as we are rooted by the river of water, rooted, those conversations that we used to feed ourselves, and when we feed ourselves in the word and in prayer, I say feed ourselves because Kofi feeds me a lot spiritually. My life is quite hectic. And so in the morning and in the evening, when we're sitting in bed, in the morning we have a cup of tea, we sit, we talk, and we pray for family and friends. In the evening, we do the same. We reflect together, and it's become a habit. And those habits are what really keeps me and really saves me. So he feeds me spiritually. We feed one another. I feed him in other ways. We feed one another. And so habits, new habits that we can actually feed. Now, I think we could just stop talking and... take it into prayer, darling. Yeah.
Yeah. I know we've been just, you know, talking to you. Normally, it's important you talk with someone. We learn to talk to people. When we begin to tune in to each other, we begin to talk with. And sometimes, like Yvonne said, because it's an open environment, it's always difficult to have that one-to-one. But I think it will be important that we pray with you and have the opportunity, I don't know whether today or another time, talk with you.
Perhaps people might want to come and have a chat afterwards.
Because it's about collaboration and exploring together. Because anything to do with family or marriage or couple or anything is about exploration together. Don't think that someone is an expert. I'm always very curious and wondering what's going on and how we can find a solution. Because the fact that you are here, it means that you've actually been working on things. You've not been passive. To actually come here this morning means that you've been working. And there are many solutions that we have the strength. It's not someone else creating the solutions for you. We also have the strength to create solutions. Solutions that will abide, that will stay, because you are part of it, not just being passive. So this dance that I was talking about is something that we're going to focus on. Learning new dances, even in our lives, whether you are married or not married, whether you have children or you don't. Someone said to us in the States, because, you know, if you don't have children, just open your door and they'll keep coming. Even we have children, but we open our door and people still come. We have no choice. Since we got married, there have been those who've come to live with us, their children also follow. And you just have to open the door. But we know that the Lord is with you this morning. Amen. In Psalm 46, it says, it's a present help. That was what Eve was to Adam, a help. And I would say that in 1 Peter 3, it says, the woman is the weak vessel. I wouldn't say everyone is a weak vessel. I think the Bible, you have to actually sometimes, God allows you to use your common sense and your mind. But Eve was to be a helpmate. And who is the helper? It's God. Who is the comforter? It's the Holy Spirit and the helper. And in Corinthians, it mentioned about God is a God of all comfort and mercy. He's a helper. So we are together helping each other to support each other. We are here to support you. I'm part of what is known as the Pastors Network for Family Care in Wandsworth, in the southwest area. We're there to support families and couples. This is what pastors, as leaders, we are, to stand with you. So if we could stand together, please. I just want you to know that he's a helper to us. Psalm 46 talks a lot about going through the water, the storms, almost like the volcanic, the sea moving. There's so many things that Psalm 46 talked about. But the important thing it talks about is that the God of Jacob is with us. He's the Emmanuel. Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here. You know their hearts. We've been talking about a lot of things. But Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit, who is our helper, our comforter, you said you are a very present help. You are here with us. And we know the power of your word. The power of your presence. You are the healer God. You are the one who reaches. It says, deep calls to deep. You reach out into the past. You reach out to we call like the ghost in the nursery. Those things that we even sometimes are not aware of, you reach out to them. You bring them into the open and you deal with it. We thank you for your light, the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness, we are told, cannot comprehend, cannot overwhelm it. The word, we are told, becomes flesh. And this flesh is what we become as partners, as husbands and wives. I pray that you will unite families this morning. Whether they're here or far and beyond. Those marriages or those relationships that, Lord, the enemy, it looks like the enemy has come to destroy. But it says that you are the one who brings freedom, who brings healing, who comes to comfort, who comes to soothe, and to bring breakthrough, and to give us wisdom when we lack wisdom. I just pray that you guard our hearts this morning. You tell us to guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of it flow the springs of life. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to anoint us afresh, from the crown of our head right to the sole of our feet. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, move in power. Bring restoration, Lord. Where there's been separation, where there have been difficulties, Lord, bring restoration. You are the God of salvation. Hallelujah, oh God. You said he or she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, the God in whom we trust. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you that you said you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we should call upon you in the day of trouble. And you will deliver us. You will rescue us. You will show us great and mighty things that we don't even know of. Things that are walled in. Lord, you will make us go in and possess. We thank you that you said, I have a plan for you. Lord, when you called us, when you brought us as man and woman, as you brought us into our families, whether into foster care or into adoption, or whether we were abandoned, whether there's been trauma in our lives. Father, you say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if mother and father forsake you. Oh, glory. You said, I will never. I'll be there. I will always be with you. And Father, we thank you. He said, with long life, will you satisfy us and show us your salvation. So you are our good shepherd. Cause us not to have any want. Cause us to lie down in green pastures. In that safe haven. Building a strong tower. A strong base. Where there have been terrible attachments. Or broken attachments. Separation anxieties. Father, I just pray that you will draw near. You will draw near as our shepherd. Who guides us. Beside those still and living water, restoring our soul, restoring the broken hearts. Amen. Bring forgiveness, O God. Help us, anoint us with the power to forgive, the power to face our enemies, the power to face our partners, not to turn our back. Because in Numbers 6, you said that your face will be turned towards us. That your face, your countenance will shine upon us. The God of grace, the God of kindness, to give us peace. Father, I pronounce peace. I pronounce peace. I pronounce the shalom of God that bring wholeness and perfection, Lord. Father, I pray that we will never be the same. We will be restorers of relationships. We will be people who will be bringing people to our homes, round the table. Tell us your story, and we will listen. Cause us to be listeners, people who listen in depth. Hallelujah, Lord. Anoint us into a different level. a different place where we are like you. Amen. Father, because even marriage is like you. It's like your love for the church is saying. Hallelujah. If husbands love their wives, he said they love themselves. It's because of their flesh, bone of their bone. Father, I just thank you for our children. The children who you've issued out of our lives, they will not inherit the past. They will inherit their own scripts. They'll be writing their own scripts in the name of Jesus. Their own life, there'll be wholeness in them. There'll be perfection in them. When they are down, they know how to rise because you are there to lift them up. Hallelujah. When they were stuck in the miry clay, the Bible says, you raise them up and set their feet on the rock. And this is what you've called us to be. We will walk in confidence. We will not be walking looking down, but we'll be lifting our heads high, looking up to our salvation. The God of heaven, who sits at the right hand of God, our Lord Jesus, the Almighty Savior, who's there watching over us. Who's there watching over us day by day, walking with us. And Father, thank you that you've given the pastors here, for Gideon, Irene, and the leaders, opportunity to journey with the members of this fellowship.
Yeah.
Because the members of this fellowship are the extended family. They are also flesh, bone of their bones. This is a real family. And when people are down, when they fall, when they mourn, when they laugh, when they cry, Lord, they cry with them, they laugh with them, they mourn with them, they stand with them. And I pray that this morning, that journey will continue. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. So, Spirit of God, we just ask you to come now.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 He says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Shall we sing that last song just to consolidate?